It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan. Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66, WFAN and WFAN-FM, New York.
All right. Well, good morning. Welcome to Talking Golf with Ann Liguori. How are we doing this morning? Pour yourself another cup of coffee if you're at home, or if you're on your way to play some golf, or on your way here to the U.S. Open at Shinnecock, or whatever you're doing. I'm glad you're listening. We'll be talking golf every Sunday from 7 to 8 in the morning through September 2nd. And I want this show to include all aspects of the game and appeal to men, women, all ability levels, ages. Each week, I hope to bring you interesting personalities in the game to talk about the sport that we are so passionate about. And on the weeks where I'm covering a major championship, like this weekend here at the U.S. Open at Shinnecock, I will devote the entire hour to this championship with guests from here. On other Sundays where I'm not physically at a tournament, I will talk about the LPGA Tour, the Champions Tour, the PGA Tour, amateur golf, celebrity golf, news about various issues in golf, et cetera, et cetera. There's so much to talk about, and so we'll try to cover as much as we can in only 1 hour each Sunday morning. So, well, many of you may remember me from my Hey Liguori, What's the Story days, and that started the very first weekend the station went on the air back in 1987 and aired every weekend for a very long time. And I hope to hear from some of my old friends who perhaps listened to that show through the years, and from new friends as well throughout this summer. And it's great to hear John Minko doing updates this morning. A true legend, Johnny, another original. So we're really looking forward to doing the show. And happy Father's Day. What a beautiful day it will be. And I wish all of you an incredible day. And if you're blessed to have your dad with you, enjoy it. Enjoy it. Well, anyway, this morning we have plenty to talk about. So just when you thought that this championship was going to be all Dustin Johnson, with DJ perhaps dominating the weekend after taking a four-shot lead into the third round, well, that didn't happen. But who, in their wildest dreams, thought that the storylines in round three would involve one of the most popular figures in the game, in addition to yet another controversy here at Shinnecock regarding the condition of the golf course and losing several greens due to the winds that picked up in the afternoon yesterday? So Phil, you know, was enjoying the reception he got all day yesterday. New Yorkers wishing him happy birthday. After all, he turned 48 yesterday, and his fans were actually singing happy birthday to him. And he was smiling, feeling fine. And, you know, he seemed just happy to make the cut after posting a 69 on Friday, after he struggled, like many of the top players, in Thursday's high winds with a round of 77. So Phil birdies the par 4 fourth, but follows that up with a bogey on the par 5 fifth. Then he bogeys number 8, number 9, number 10, number 11. He pars 12. He's playing with Andrew Johnston, beef. So how fun is that? You know, the two of those guys playing together. And then he gets to the par 4 13th, and he has a 25-foot downhill bogey putt. And the ball misses the cup and just keeps going. And then he starts chasing the ball, and when he catches up to the ball, he whacks it back up the hill while it's still moving, and the ball passes the hole again. So then he misses the next putt going back. He finally taps in for an 8 that became a 10 with a 2-stroke penalty that he was assessed. And, you know, you're just like wondering what is going on. I mean, his playing partner, Beef, he started laughing and afterwards called it a moment of madness. Phil ended up carding a plus 11, 81, a plus 17 for the championship. He said afterwards he knew about the 2-stroke penalty rule of hitting a moving ball and that he meant to take advantage of the rules as best as he could. I mean, when I saw Phil running after that putt and hitting it back toward the hole while the ball was still moving, I almost fell out of my chair. I'm wondering, has this guy lost his mind? It was unbelievable. Was he having a meltdown? I mean, I know it's frustrating out there, but I mean, how do you do this? in the U.S. Open in a major championship anytime, but particularly in a U.S. Open. You know, his members of his family had flown in to watch. The whole world, you know, was watching. All the, you know, millions of fans on TV watching. All these fans, you know, who idolized him. And you're just wondering what's going through his mind. Well, anyway, he was assessed a two-shot penalty, breaching Rule 14-5. And the debate then ensued as to whether Phil should have been disqualified under Rule 33-7-1-2. But the USGA said afterwards he did not deflect or stop the ball, so they only applied the two-shot penalty under the Rule 14-5. And then you have Mike Davis, the CEO of the USGA, saying after the round that Phil actually called him personally and wanted to actually understand the ruling. He apparently told Davis that he didn't want to play in this championship if he should have been disqualified. And Davis assured him that the USGA made the appropriate ruling. And then apparently Phil had talked to some other people and said that it was indeed not his finest moment. Well, hello. I mean, how does somebody who has become really an outer spokesperson, you know, of the game, if you will, five-time major champion, one of the most popular players on the tour, how does he disrespect the game like that? You know, as I said, it's the U.S. Open. It's our country's championship. So many people watching. You know, I like Phil. I really do. I had a wonderful conversation with him this past Monday night at the Rolex party. I was fortunate to get an invite. And Phil's the kind of guy that, you know, once he meets you, he will never forget your name. He will call you by your first name. When you're in a press conference and you ask a question, he will address you. He'll just remember your name, which is an incredible thing to do. He's very personable. You know, some people think he should run for office. He's a family man. He always makes sure to put his family first. Last year, he didn't even play the U.S. Open so he could attend his daughter's graduation. So you really don't expect this kind of behavior from anyone at a U.S. Open, particularly a player that so many people look up to. And then to hear his reaction even made it worse. Here's Phil talking to the media after the debacle on 13.
I was going to go down into the same spot behind the bunker, wasn't going to have a shot. And I don't know if I would have been able to save a shot or whatnot, but I know it's a two-shot penalty hitting a moving ball. I tried to hit as close to the hole as I could to make the next one. And, you know, you take the two shots, you move on. I don't mean disrespect by anybody. I know it's a two-shot penalty. And at that time, I just didn't feel like going back and forth and hitting the same shot over. I took the two-shot penalty, moved on. It's my understanding of the rules. I've had multiple times where I've wanted to do that. I just finally did. I don't mean it in any disrespect, and if that's the way people took it, I apologize to them, but that's not the way it was taken. I took the two-shot penalty, moved on, and there's not much more to say. It's certainly not meant that way. It's meant to, you know, take advantage of the rules as best as you can, and in that situation, it was just going. I was just going back and forth, and I would gladly take the two shots over continuing that that display.
Wow. I mean, it's just not right. Phil apologized to anyone who was offended by what he did. And then he said something else, and you didn't hear it in those previous cuts. But then he said, toughen up. And when he said toughen up, that even made it worse. I mean, you know, what's also troublesome is that he decided that the next shot was going to be harder than penalizing himself. And, you know, he tried to laugh it off, make light of it, but I do believe that this moment of insanity or meltdown or whatever happened inside his head to cause him to do this will really scar his legendary status in golf. I do believe it. He obviously just lost his head for a moment, and I'm sure if he had a chance to do it over again, he wouldn't, even if he doesn't admit that. So anyway, if that episode wasn't enough, then later in the day, more controversy erupted when the greens became too tough in the afternoon when the winds picked up. Now, players were not happy. You've heard many players speak out about it already. Many spoke of their displeasure. Zach Johnson told Sky Sports, in quotes, "They've lost the golf course. The golf course is gone." And after the third round ended, the USGA admitted they just missed it with the wind. the conditions became too tough. They got more wind than expected. They said they would slow the greens down for today's final round. And they actually came into the press conference area yesterday. Mike Davis, the CEO of the USGA, said in quotes, "Listen, I think everybody, without stating the obvious, it was a tale of two different golf courses today. Even the first 2 days. If you look at how the golf course played the morning round, the morning wave versus the afternoon wave, it was significant. Reply different in those days as well." He said, "You know, the team that sets it up, there's about eight of us, part of the setup team that does the U.S. Open." He says, "I will tell you that we felt good about the setup when we left this morning. When we were done with the setup, we felt that it would work well given the forecast we had. But I think that now that I'm sitting here, we would say that parts of this test of golf simply were too tough." He went on to say, "We want the U.S. Open to be tough, but we saw some examples late in the day where well-executed shots were not only being rewarded, but in some cases penalized." And specifically, he said, "I think the one that was the most troublesome was the 15th green, that whole location. It worked fine most of the day, but it didn't work, you know, fine later in the day." Anyway, he went on and on. And yeah, I mean, definitely there were, I looked at the pin locations when I came in yesterday morning, and a lot of the pin locations were a couple feet from the edge. I mean, I looked at 15, that was almost impossible. 16, 14, really, really, really tough. And just so close to the edge of the green. I knew it was going to be a tough day just by looking at the pin placements. And then when you factor in, you know, that there's always wind here, and, you know, the forecast did call for, you know, 20-mile-hour gusts later in the afternoon, you have to wonder why those pin placements were just so, so difficult. All right. Well, amongst all this controversy, we do have a championship taking place where the focus should be on the players competing. Dustin Johnson, he actually three-putted the 18th green late yesterday afternoon to drop out of the sole lead and join Daniel Berger, Tony Finau, and Brooks Koepka at +3 for the championship. And, boy, that 3 over 213 is the highest 54-hole score to lead the U.S. Open since 1974. And it was the first time since 2007, the U.S. Open at Oakmont, that no one is under par going into this final round. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back from the break, Gary Van Sickle, longtime golf journalist, Morning Read contributor, president of the Golf Writers Association of America, will join us. Dave Marr will join us later in the show as well. So stay where you are. And we'll be right back talking golf with Ann Liguori.